desire and interest in your prayers tonight, and also your attention. I'd like to turn to a scripture in Proverbs, something that is familiar, I'm sure, to each one of us here tonight. Proverbs 22:1 says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." I'm not certain of the date, but approximately 25 years ago, before I was married, my wife now made a little cross stitch I don't know what you call it. Anyway, it's on a piece of fabric, and she framed it and gave it to me as a gift. I believe it may have been a Christmas time gift to me. And it's been hanging on the wall of the house that I lived in before we married. And since that time, it's been hanging on the wall ever since. You come to my house and come in the back door, it's not just as you go into the next room. And it says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches." And in the course of that 25 years or so that has passed since that time, I've come to realize that the element of having, maintaining, gaining, whatever you want to use as the adjective there or the descriptive term of getting a good name and keeping it is something that is very valuable. It's a lot of effort involved in that. It's not something that you haphazardly accumulate in life. If you're going to have a good name, there's a lot of effort that goes into that. I'm not going to ever be naive enough to say that I don't care what other people think about my life in general. There may be some times that we have to make some statements, and we may have to take some positions in our life that we're not going to allow what others think alter the course that we're determined to take. But I like other people to like me. I appreciate having friends. And I want you to know that I have endeavored in my life to have a good name with my neighbors and my coworkers and the people that I'm around on a regular basis. I don't want to have a name of being obstinate or hard to get along with or difficult or stuck up or anything else that you might put on there that would be undesirable. I want to have a good name. And a good name is not something that's a maintenance-free item. We like maintenance-free batteries in our cars. We like vinyl siding and brick and other things on our houses, and if we could put a roof on our house that would last 100 years and we could afford it, we would do that too. We like things that have low maintenance. But a good name is not one of those things. If you got a good name when you was in grade school, it don't necessarily hold true all the way through high school. If you had a good name when you graduated high school, it doesn't necessarily hold true when you're 30 or you're 40 or maybe 70 or 80 or however old we are here tonight. A good name is something that takes a lot of perseverance. It takes a lot of dedication and devotion to maintain. I'm talking about in the temporal things. It's not something that you can just loaf along and have a good name. It's got to be a focal point in your life to have a good name. I'm thinking too of the 25 years. If I could have just cast it to the side and not really cared about maintaining a good name, and maybe the name of being honest or upright or dependable or whatever it is that people say is good about you or me or anyone else. If I could have cast that aside, maybe I could have been rich today. I'm not, but maybe I could have been. A lot of people have gained wealth in 25 years. A lot of people that has pursued business ventures and has been unscrupulous and have been determined to accumulate wealth, a lot of people have done it in 25 years or less. It says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I'm thinking tonight of the name of a character in a book, and I'm certain all of us here are aware of the book. Quite possibly all of us have read it. The book is Pilgrim's Progress. You remember the main character in that book? His name was Christian. He came from a background of wickedness, but the Lord had mercy on him, lifted him out of that, set his feet on a course that was going to the celestial city, and we got to know Christian. I'm thinking about the name Christian tonight. And you know, it's a good name. It's a good name. It's a good name to be known as a Christian. But it takes maintenance. And it takes devotion. It takes effort to maintain the name of a Christian as good in our world today. Unfortunately, we have what they call now, by and large, a global economy. And because we have so many global things, and transportation and communication is so expedient, it's so, I guess you would say, it's inexpensive, because we have a lot of goods in our land today that come from foreign lands. And they have a lot of goods that come from our nation. So we have a global society to a great extent. And unfortunately, the name Christian is not perceived as good all the time. Unfortunately, the name of Christian is not esteemed as being of more value than great riches. A lot of times, the word Christian is looked down on. And negative comments are made when someone is referred to as a Christian. So I'm concerned about us tonight in our vision of the name Christian. It's not a decal.
That's right.
It is not a bumper sticker.
That's right.
It is not an emblem. And it's not something that we just pick up like a pair of shoes. The name Christian is something that identifies our character and who we really are. The name Christian is something that the Scripture says is good and has tremendous value. And it means that it's going to cost me some things. I'm going to have to lay aside the things that could have got me a lot of silver and gold and a lot of wealth sometimes to maintain the name Christian as a good name, as something that people look on and admire and recognize, and something that they want to be like you. We like we've always heard this illustration and used it. Each one of us probably have picked up on it about how children like to be like their parents, at least up to a certain age anyway. And they like to try to wear their daddy's boots maybe. Or we have pictures of our children putting on my shoes and trying to do the things that I would do as their father. And may the Lord help us to live and portray in the world that we live in the name Christian as something that is good and other people or desirous to be like that and to have that, instead of leaving a bad taste in their mouth. I'd like to turn over now to Proverbs, the 29th chapter, and notice a verse here, a couple verses. It says in the 16th verse, "When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth." That's all we're going to read right there. "When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth." That was a long time ago. And I believe it was a wise statement when it was uttered and recorded. And it's wise for us to recognize today that when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth. And we live in an age where wickedness has multiplied. Whatever age we are, if we're an adult today, you can look back in your past in your life and you can recognize that wickedness has multiplied since you've been paying attention. And if you're older than me here today, I'm sure that you've recognized a greater progression of wickedness than I have. It says, "Where wickedness has multiplied, transgression increaseth." May the Lord help us to recognize that the value of the good name of Christian becomes even more valuable, even more costly, as wickedness is multiplied. The more wickedness is multiplied, the higher cost of maintenance there is to a good name, the good name of being a Christian. In the 18th verse it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." The first part is what I want us to focus on. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no, not just seeing with your eyes, but where there is a loss of your objective and a loss of your goal and a loss of your perception of what's going on around you and what you want to portray, where there's a loss of that, it says the people perish. When there's a loss of what you're working towards, when there's a loss of the goal that you're trying to gain, the people perish. The wickedness is multiplied. We agree with that. I think you agree with me. Transgression is increased. I believe that's a true statement. And I want us to recognize tonight that if we lose our vision of what it means to have a good name, of have the name of Christian, and not just the name stuck on the tailgate or the bumper, but have the goods on board, if we lose the vision of that, you know what's going to happen? Christianity is going to perish. The people is going to perish. Now, Solomon, if he's the one that uttered this, we accredit most of Proverbs to Solomon. If he's the one that said this, he lost his vision. At the end of his reign, and his son come along, the kingdom was in an uproar. And it became divided. Solomon lost his vision. He began to allow his appetites for wealth and what wealth would bring him. It brought him a lot of women. And all these women brought their gods with her. And they began to build temples or want to build temples, and he tried to pacify all of them. And he lost his vision of being God's kingdom and God's people. He lost that. And the people began to perish. We heard the other night about the death that Adam and Eve experienced and how it began to happen immediately. not they didn't live forever after they ate that fruit, you know. Solomon lost his vision. And as a result of that, the people perished. The Israelite people became obliterated from the face of the earth. Not as a bloodline, but as a nation, their identity. You know how important it is for us to maintain a good name? If we lose it, if we lose the good name, if the name of Christian loses its value in our society totally, and I'm going to tell you, it's greatly discounted today. It's greatly discounted. And if it totally loses the value that it should have, the freedoms that we have known in this nation are going to disappear. As we allow the vision of a good name of a Christian to crumble and to deteriorate on our watch, in my life, in your life, when we allow ourselves to just be a name it and claim it Christian instead of really being a Christian and really endeavoring to live wholeheartedly for the Lord. When we allow that to be discounted to where I'm just going to have a profession and lay down my Christianity and take care of this problem and lay it down and take care of that problem, and you know what's going to happen? It's going to cause us to be lost as an identity of people. The good name, the value of a good name is going to be lost. Every generation that comes along has got to have it purposed in their own heart what they're going to do and to live for the Lord. I can't live for the Lord for my children. They're going to have that for their own. They're going to have the deep-seated convictions. And it's going to have to be what motivates them and what directs them and what guides them in every day of their life. But if they allow the good name of being a Christian to be discounted, it's just going to creep up a little closer to the people being perished from our society. There's a lot of alternatives out there. A lot of things we hear about. Alternative religions. The Islamic faith is growing by leaps and bounds. That's just a fact. Not just here, but worldwide. Got home today from my job and picked up the newspaper very briefly, and an article in there. There's a billboard that's made the newspaper over in Oklahoma, down by Oklahoma City. And it's just a phrase on the billboard. I had a picture of it in the Joplin paper today. And it poses a statement or a question that says, "Don't believe in God? Join the club." It's sponsored by a group of people that are claimed to be atheists. So there's alternatives out there. There's the atheist and the Satanist have rented some kind of public building in Oklahoma City, and they're going to have a get-together. I can't remember the word they use, but a blasphemy session, I believe, is what they called it. So there's alternatives out there, you see. They're getting bolder by the minute. You let the ball drop when it's in your court, and guess what? You lose the vision. You quit really doing everything you can to maintain your experience with the Lord. People's going to perish. What's going to come in place of it? I'll just give you a few things that you can think about maybe. There's alternatives out there. If we decide not to maintain the good name of Christianity in our society, there's going to be substitutes that's going to come along. And they're gathering steam and momentum as we're gathered here tonight. Just a handful of people. A little handful. The value of a good name. You know, I really like, I like the idea of our money saying, "In God we trust." But it's under attack. You know, if the good name of a Christian had not been deteriorated in people's lives, it wouldn't be under attack. It wouldn't be under attack. In the Pledge of Allegiance, there's a phrase that says something like, "One nation under God, with liberty and justice for all." Remember that? Used to recite that in school. That's under attack too. Some schools won't even recite that pledge because of that, those words. You know, it wouldn't be an issue if people's vision had not deteriorated and everybody was maintaining their good name. Now, no offense, but Clifford's got a high maintenance house here. They've been trying to paint it for a while. And I don't really want to pick on him, but by the time he gets done, he's going to have to start over. Where he started is going to probably need some touch up.
It already
has. All right. If you got a wood house, an older wood house that's been painted several times, it needs painting again. And when you scrape it, no matter how perfect you prepare the surfaces, it's not going to last. You buy a house that needs to be painted, it's going to always need some painting. They get a lot of enjoyment out of their place. You know, there's a lot of enjoyment in being a Christian. But don't be discouraged. It's not vinyl siding, stucco, and self-clean. You know, my wife likes self-cleaning ovens. And it's a good thing. But we don't have self-cleaning carpet in the house. She still has to vacuum the carpet. She still has to wash the windows. We don't have self-cleaning windows in our house. Somebody may invent, though, that you young people, maybe y'all can invent something like that. I'm telling you, if you invented self-cleaning carpet and self-cleaning windows for a house, you'd be wealthy. It takes maintenance to keep those things clean. It takes a lot of maintenance and perseverance to keep the good name of Christianity ringing true in people's minds. And if somebody finds out, I've heard this statement made about other people, somebody finds out that you claim to be a Christian, there ought to be enough evidence to convict you. If somebody accuses you of being a Christian and somebody else says, well, I don't know. Some of the things I've seen them do or some of the things I've heard them say, I don't know if they are or not. You see? There's been some deterioration happen there. It don't come without a price. You try to keep a good name in the neighborhood, there's going to be something that contests that. Your dog's going to get out, or your car's going to make too much noise, or your headlights are going to shine in their bedroom window or something. Or maybe you made too much noise, had too many people over. There's going to be something that's going to contest your desire to have a good relationship with you. It's going to take some maintenance. We've had those experiences. I want to read to you about a man in the Old Testament over here in Joshua, the 24th chapter. I want to read something there that's, every time I read it, it just kind of runs all over me. I don't want to tell you Anytime we look on a big project, it can look overwhelming. And if we look on the degradation and the deterioration and the corruption that's became recognizable in the phrase or the word Christian in our society, it can look like an overwhelming task. And the devil is quick to come along and tell you that you sure can't fix it, so don't bother trying. Just kind of run along with the average. And if you try to be average, I'm going to tell you, you've lost your vision. If you try to be average on the job, you're on your way out. In our world, in our economy right now, you're going to have to be above average at whatever you're doing to maintain employment and maintain your job skills and your opportunities. You're going to have to be above average. Mediocrity won't cut it. And we're not going to be able to just go with the flow and kind of be an average Christian. Our vision is going to have to be higher than that. Solomon said, where there's no vision, the people perish. Will you lose your vision of what your objective is to be a Christian, no holds barred? It's going to start perishing. Maybe not you. But what about the next generation? If I lose my vision and allow the paint to peel on my good name of Christian, if I allow the things to deteriorate in my life that I know I ought to maintain, the next generation is just going to set their mark a little bit lower. Dad was just an average old Joe, and I'll be one too. And it's going to be on a steadily decline. You know what's going to happen? The people that's called Christians are going to disappear. That's what's going to happen. So we have to recognize we have a problem of epidemic proportions in our world today of mediocrity in Christianity and people that have lost their vision of what it means to name the name of Christ. We have a problem. So what are we going to do about it? We're going to get some kind of militia together and go around and convert people? I don't think so. It's not going to work that way. There's no way we can stiff arm people into being Christians. It's not going to work. It's not going to be successful. It says, the Scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You're going to have to get it in people's heart. So where are we going to start? Very few people will let you put something in their heart. There's times we'd like to, but very seldom will people let you plant something in their heart. They got to be convicted of it themselves. So how are we going to do it? We're going to have a vision on an individual basis of the good name of being a Christian. We're going to have a vision of what it means to be sold out. Do everything in our power to be a Christian and hold the banner up. I'm a Christian by the grace of God. And my integrity as a Christian won't allow me to take advantage of the situation or the other person, whatever it might be. And if it takes me going back and asking for forgiveness, if it takes me apologizing for something that I said or what, I'm going to do it. If whatever maintenance is involved, if I got to paint my house every year, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do whatever it takes to keep this up. I'm not going to just be satisfied with putting a plaque on the side or getting a belt buckle or whatever it is. I'm not going to be satisfied with that. I'm going to have the goods on hand. Notice what Joshua said, 24th chapter of Joshua and the 15th verse. Maybe starting the 14th verse. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other sides of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. So, whatever harping I do this evening, ultimately it's up to you. What are you going to do with it? If I do everything in my power to keep my experience up to date and maintained, it's still, you're on your own. The ball's in your court too. You're going to have to maintain the good name of Christianity in your life. And if you don't, if I don't, the ultimate end is the people's going to perish. The identity of Christians, it's hurting right now, folks. And if you allow it to dim down in your life, the next generation is going to be a little bit dimmer, most likely. Why are they doing having this little tent here? What's our objective here? To revive to a great extent and to inspire those that may have let the good name get tarnished. To revive that to where I want to maintain this. Even if whatever it takes, I want to maintain this good name of being a Christian in this old world. Folks, our world needs it. They need people that they can take off to the side and say, "My grandma's sick, would you pray for her?" They need people that they can come to and say, "I just need somebody to listen to my troubles." Our world needs that. And if you allow the good name to crumble and deteriorate in your life, who are they going to turn to? These alternatives that we mentioned earlier, what do they offer? If nothing else, they offer just an avenue to be vindictive. Not really pointing them to real help for their heart and for their troubles. So notice what he says. Joshua says, you're going to have to make a decision. Everyone here tonight, if you're experience with the Lord is deteriorated, if you're kind of a ho-hum, take it or leave it type Christian, you're going to have to make a decision. Joshua said, it's up to you now. But it's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And by the grace of God, that's where I am. As for me and my house, the ones I have any kind of influence on in my home environment, we're going to serve the Lord by the grace of God. I want other people, when somebody said, "I heard those folks over there that live down there, that house by the creek, I heard they was Christians." And I want my neighbors to be able to say, "Oh yes, they are." You need something, they'll be willing to help you. They're the nicest people I've ever met. That's what I want them to say. So what people think about me matter. But it takes a lot of maintenance. And it takes me responding when people have needs.
That's right.
As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. What about you? Have you just been satisfied with the nameplate? And when it really gets into crunch, you start squirming and maybe backing up. I'm going to read one other scripture and then I'm going to leave this thought with you tonight. In 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, we all know this verse too. Probably all of these just been familiar, ho-hum, everyday, ordinary scriptures to you tonight. 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, we'll start reading in the 12th verse. It says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen the place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I'd like for that to happen across our nation. I've prayed many times, Lord, I'd like our politicians to have a Damascus Road experience where they could not deny that it was you talking with them, and they had to recognize that. If it took striking them with blindness until they acknowledged, so be it. I'd like for all of our people in our land to have Damascus Road experiences. I'd like for them to humble their hearts. Our nation has been known as a Christian nation. But the word Christian is not a good name anymore. I'm talking in the global society. It's ridiculed. It's scoffed at. We have people putting up billboards in our neighboring state. And some of y'all are from there. It's not your fault, okay? But somebody has been bold enough and exercised their freedom of speech to put up this sign, don't believe in God? Join the club. So what are you going to do about it? I'd like everybody to humble their hearts and repent. But I'm going to tell you where it's going to have to start. It's going to have to start somewheres. And it might as well start here tonight. Have you just been satisfied with kind of going with the flow, and when you're not with us, you do something else? You know what's happened? You've lost your vision. That's what's happened. You don't have a good name anymore. It's not as valuable as it used to be to you. So, what are we going to do? It's got to start here. It's got to start somewhere. It might as well be here. Won't you humble? It says here, if my people which are called by my name, do you like being called a Christian? I wonder how many of us here, and we live in the Bible Belt, if you will. I wonder how many cringe at the thought of being called a Christian in this town. What about under the tent? I would venture to say, if I ask for a show of hands here tonight, who is it that really cringes at the idea of being identified as a Christian? I don't think I'd get anybody. So, if you kind of like the idea of being called a Christian or identified with Christians, what are you doing to support the good name? Are you really living it? Am I really living it? See, I'm talking to me too. I'm not talking down to anybody. May the Lord help us to be willing to have a good name, to do what it takes to have a good name. There's maintenance, folks. There's repairs maybe that needs to be done tonight. Maybe sometimes people get the idea that maintenance is something that's easy and it's quick. But that's not altogether true. Sometimes routine maintenance is pretty intense. Sometimes mechanical things, machinery and assembly lines and all, sometimes they completely shut down operation and it looks like they're making a repair, but they're really just doing maintenance. And they may have something completely disassembled that was working perfectly. And what are you taking it apart for? It's not broke. Well, we're going to do some maintenance because we don't want it to break. We can plan on doing maintenance, but a breakdown costs us so much more. You know, a breakdown in our society is going to be much more expensive than whatever it costs to do the maintenance. A breakdown in your life, a calamity, is going to be much more catastrophic than doing the maintenance. And if you need to dig down inside and unload some garbage that's been accumulating there, I want to encourage you to do that tonight. Because if we can unload that and be able to maintain the visibility of a good name, it's going to start spreading around. Other people's going to get the word. Other people's going to get the word that they really got it this time. There's a real difference. He's been claiming it. He's been kind of going along, been going to church for a while, but they really got it now. So, I know this is optimistic, but I'd like for us all to leave here tonight purposed in our heart to maintain a good name. The good name of being a Christian. If you pray for me, I want to do that too.